Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Mazagon Dock Shipbuilders Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Jyoti. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Trisha. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY26 earnings conference call with the management of Mazagon Dock Shipbuilders Limited. We have with us Captain Jagmohan, Chairman and Managing Director, Shri Biju Roy, Director, Shipbuilding, Commander Vasudev Puranik, Director, Corporate Planning and Personnel, Shri Ruchir Agrawal, Director, Finance and CFO, and Commodore SB Jamgaonkar, Director, Submarine and Heavy Engineering. Without further delay, I would now request Captain Jagmohan, sir, to start with his opening comments, after which we can open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Mazagon Dock Shipbuilders Q2 and half-yearly earnings call for the period ended 30th September 2025. My name is Captain Jagmohan, Chairman and Managing Director, and I'm joined today by Shri Ruchir Agrawal, Director, Finance and CFO, Shri Biju Roy, Director, Shipbuilding, Commander Vasudev Puranik, Director, Corporate Planning and Personnel, Commodore Shailesh Jamgaonkar, Director, Submarine and Heavy Engineering. Before we begin, I would like to remind everyone that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements as defined under applicable securities law. These statements are based on our current expectations and projections about future events and financial trends and are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. We undertake no obligation to update these forward-looking statements except as required by law. For all detailed discussions of these risks and uncertainties, please refer to our latest financial results, press release, and regulatory filings available on the stock exchange websites and our company website. As a listed entity in India, we are committed to adhering to the highest standards of corporate governance and transparency as mandated by the SEBI Regulations 2015. This call is being conducted in compliance with these regulations, ensuring timely and equitable dissemination of information to all our stakeholders. We are pleased to share our financial and operational performance for Q2 and the half-year ended 30th September 2025. During this call, we will provide an overview of our financial results, discuss key operational highlights, and share our outlook for the upcoming period. Following our presentation, we will open the floor for your questions. We request you to limit your questions to two per participant in the initial round to ensure everyone gets an opportunity. Now, I would like to hand over to Mr. Ruchir Agrawal, Director, Finance and CFO, who will walk you through the detailed financial performance.
Good afternoon, and I will be presenting the quarterly financial performance for the Q2 25-26. As far as standalone are concerned, we recorded a revenue from operation of 2,929 crores, which is 6% above the last year's performance, last year's corresponding year's performance, and the total income recorded at 3,205 crores, which is also 6% higher to corresponding previous year's figures. As far as the PBT is concerned, it is 939 crores, and we sit at a PAT of 715 crores, which is also 27% above the corresponding period of corresponding quarter. And our net worth stood at 8,083 crores, and our earnings per share for standalone is rupees 17.73 per share. If we see our consolidated performance, our PBT is 934 crores, which is up by 26%. And for our consolidation, we are merging the results of Goa Shipyard for which we hold about 47% shares as an investment. And on consolidated basis, the PAT is 749 crores and not so net worth is stood at 8910 crores, which is 22% in comparison to last year's quarter. And the earning per share is rupees 18.58 per share. And if I talk about the half year's performance, the revenue from operations stood at 5,555 crores, which is 9% above the corresponding last year quarter, corresponding last year half year. And the total income is around 6,155 crores. PBT stands at 1,506 crores. And PAT is at 1,135 crores, which is both PBT and PAT are 8% less than the previous half year's amount. The reason for that is in our Q4 24-25 and Q1 of 25-26, we had booked 1,000 crores of provisions for onerous contracts. The two contracts, one was for Coast Guard and another was for MPV. That is why this is the reason for dip in our PBT and PAT if we consider on half year comparison basis. And if we take the consolidated figure for half year performance, our PBT stands at 1501 crores and PAT at 1202 with an earning per share of 29.79 crores. That's all from our side.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So my first question is on the status of P-75, the three Scorpion submarine orders, because earlier, I think in the earlier conference calls, you had indicated that the order should be signed, you know, very soon, possibly in the first half of this financial year.
Yeah, for the additional submarines of P-75, the commercial negotiations with the Ministry of Defense were completed a few months ago, and the project was just at the sanction stage. But beyond that, we have not been kept informed. We are still hopeful that in the coming months, we should be able to sign the contract for the three additional Scorpion submarines.
Okay, sir. And sir, for the P-75I, any indication of the timeline by when the negotiations could be completed and the order could be placed on the company?
See, the commercial negotiations are on at the moment. We have already commenced, I think two or three rounds are over. We anticipate that the commercial negotiations will be completed by this calendar year, and we are hopeful that we will be able to sign the contract by this financial year.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. I will come back and take it. Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Krishna Doshi from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So actually, I just wanted some guidance on the revenue front. As we are seeing that, you know, a lot of major projects have come to an end. So right now, the order book stands at around 27,415 crores. So just wanted to understand what the revenue growth is going to look like going ahead until we receive these major orders of submarines.
We anticipate that this year we will have revenue of approximately 12,500 crores or so. And the coming year also, we should have maybe another 5% growth over that. Beyond that, once the submarine projects kick in, we should have a considerable improvement both in our revenue as well as our profits.
Okay, sir. And the second question would be, so recently we saw this DAC approval of around 79,000 crores, where landing platform dock is also supposed to be a major chunk of it. So what kind of opportunities are we seeing there?
Today, actually, as we speak, we have signed an exclusive MOU with Swan Shipyard, SDHI, which has a very large infrastructure, because these ships are quite large, around 200 meters or so in length. So we will be bidding for this project jointly with Swan Shipyard, and we anticipate that we will bring in the synergies of public-private partnership, where all our capabilities in design, weapon integration, project management, we will tie up with the flexibility of the private player, both in his infrastructure as well as his procurement. We anticipate that we will be very well placed to win this order.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nehal Mehta from Shubh Kam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. My first question is that given that substantial execution of P-17A order will happen in the current financial year, how do you see your margin and revenue growth for the next 2 years? And my second question would be that once your P-75 order comes in, when will the execution of the order commence?
See, the 17 Alpha, we will deliver the third ship this calendar year. But we will have the fourth ship going into the next financial year as well. So, and after that, we will have the guarantee period as well. So the 17 Alpha project will continue for the next financial year as well. So the revenue and profit margins which come from that project will be visible for this financial year as well as the next. Thereafter, we will have maybe few months where we will have only the Coast Guard and the MPV project as well as the offshore project, where the margins are slightly less. However, we anticipate that if we are able to sign the submarine contracts quickly, where we once again anticipate the margins are higher, because these are projects which we are very familiar with. We anticipate our productivity and operational efficiencies to be higher, and therefore the margins also will be higher.
Okay. And my second question would be for P-75, like when would you expect the commencement of the order once you receive it?
If it is the additional submarine, we should be able to commence immediately, because it is a follow-on of the submarines which we have already executed, six of which we have delivered to the Navy. The 75I has a year's preparatory period, but we have already started to work on it. So maybe 75I, we will start earning revenue maybe 6 months after signing the contract. And for 75, maybe immediately after signing of the contract, we should be able to register revenue.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for taking my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rupam Jaiswal from InvestWell. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi sir. Actually, I wanted to know about this new partnership, like what this terming a term sheet or anything which you have signed with Swan Defense. So could you elaborate on how will you going to leverage their capacity, and what kind of partnership in future are you going to leverage their different capacity for different ships and all? Could you just elaborate on that?
The present agreement or the memorandum of understanding that we have signed with them is primarily for LPD only. However, going forward, we may collaborate with them for other large commercial ships as well. Here, what we intend to do, although the teaming agreement has not yet come in place, we anticipate that we will be the bidder for the project with the Navy. And SDHI or the Swan Defense Shipyard will work at the back end. In fact, we will use their very large infrastructure, because the LPD, the landing platform dock, is a large vessel and it will be more productively or more efficiently manufactured or constructed at their site. And we will bring in our experience in project management, weapon integration and design. So we will be bringing the synergies of both public sector shipyard and private shipyards' flexibility in procurement, etc. So we will we expect that we will offer a very good functional ship at a very attractive price, and therefore we think we are very well positioned to win this nearly 40,000 crore order.
So one more thing, like I got that point also. Just one more thing, like in this the shipyard, which the kind of capacity that Swan is holding, so you are saying that you would be leveraging their capacity for commercial ships also and for this landing platform. So what would be the revenue, like how will be the revenue scenario, like what kind of revenue would you be booking, or is this kind of a rental agreement that you would take up with them and you will be just giving them rental for that, using that shipyard or anything like that? Like, I want to know what kind of revenue scenario will be in this kind of agreement.
You know, it's too early to say. You see, we are let the RFP come out, and then when we make our bid, then we will have proper agreement with between us, MDL, and Swan. It will be a win-win scenario for both shipyards, both in terms of revenue and profits. So it is too early to say at this stage.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Mandavkar from NVS Brokerage. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Yeah, actually, myself, Kriti Tripathi from NVS Brokerage. My question was about revenue guidance and margin guidance, but it is more or less covered, so thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from SUD Life. Please go ahead.
Sir, on the first half, operating cash flow turned out to be negative and lower from last year. How do we see that? How do we read that basically?
Come again?
Sir, our operating cash flow turned negative this time and quite steep, sharp decline. How do we read that?
This is primarily because we got some amount in Flexi from Navy in the Flexi account in March 25, and which has been used this year. So you are seeing a negative cash flow on that account. Otherwise, our margins are intact, and we expect to perform better in quarters to come.
Okay. So my next question on the execution. Now that all most of our submarine orders are over, and mostly left with Coast Guard and ONGC platforms, so how do we see the margins for this FY26 and 27?
As far as the Coast Guard orders are concerned, wherever the provision for onerous already provision for last two quarters, and for ONGC contract, that is a cost plus contract, and we will be getting the margins as per the contract. PRP contract is a fixed price contract, and we expect that we will be completing in the cost what we have bid to the ONGC.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Just last, if you can mention about the potential order of pipeline that is there today.
See, the Navy itself is coming out with multiple projects. For example, like what we just discussed, the LPD, the landing platform dock, which will be around 35 to 40,000 crores. We have the MCMV, which is around 40,000 crores. The 17 Bravo ships, which will be again another 50 to 60,000 crores. I think the Navy is going to come out with a destroyer class project as well, either the 15 Charlie or the next generation destroyer, which will be costing maybe around 70 to 80,000 crores. So overall, the expansion of the Navy is considerable, and we anticipate that we are ideally placed to win a sizable part of that order.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the repeat opportunity. So my question is on your Colombo Dockyard acquisition. So could you shed some light on, you know, what are your plans for, you know, that asset? And is the acquisition complete? And if yes, how much of its revenue and EBITDA and the PBT has been booked in this quarter?
So the acquisition is still not complete, and we are still not the shareholders of that company. And we expect that the approvals are online, and the final approval for right issue will be coming in by this weekend. And the EGM for calling the right issue is expected by this month end. So then by going by that timelines, we expect that we will be the shareholders by start of the next month. And after that, we will be pitching in their management for control and execution.
And so what are your plans? I mean, what kind of ships you will be manufacturing there? Once you take the
yeah, into commercial shipbuilding, and half the revenue comes from ship repair. We are intending to ramp up their capacity. Presently, they have revenue of approximately 1,000 crores. We anticipate that in the next year or so, we will be able to ramp it up to 1,500. They have excellent production processes because they have a long-term association with their past owners, the Onomichi Shipyard from Japan. And they have good clientele from Europe and Scandinavia. So that we will bring in our expertise as well, and the large amount of repairs that is going from India will further increase. So we anticipate that we will be in the next 2 years able to increase the revenue by around 50%.
And any comment on what kind of margins and profits they are making and how much it can increase?
So the information we have as per their balance sheet, etc., is around 15% margin, but there are some losses. And primarily vessel categories which they are building are bulk carriers and cable laying vessels. So for cable laying vessels, they are anticipating new orders also this financial.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Harshit Kapadia from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. And I think the margins were very healthy. A couple of questions from my side. Sir, first starting on the LPD, who is the technology partner for the landing platform dock for you, sir?
Yeah, so we have not yet decided. So let's waiting for the RFP. Let the RFP be out. After that, we will look at various possibilities. So discussion with Swan, we will finalize that.
Fair enough, sir. Sir, there are media rumors that the 3 submarine order for P-75 may get converted into 9 numbers of P-75I. Do you think, is there a possibility that the reason why the government is holding that particular order of 3 submarine?
So we have not received anything, any communication from MOD or the Navy, so we would not like to speculate on that.
Okay, sir. Just one question on the submarine execution part. Sir, is the submarine execution similar to having a bell-shaped curve to how the ship is being built? That is, in the first few years, you have very low revenue booking, and then in the next couple of years, the revenue booking increases and then again falls. Is that how it does?
By and large, yes. But however, since we have already a lot of experience in the 75 project, we should be able to shorten that S-curve.
So, which generally takes around 9 years, how much can it be shortened? Like, will it be 7 years?
No, we will try and, instead of the steep S-curve or what you call the bell curve, we will try and curve a little more, the slope a little more manageable so that the revenues are spread through the entire bill period.
Fair enough, sir. Sir, any update on the repair orders from US Navy or any other Navy globally that we were earlier looking at?
So, we are registered with the MSRA, and depending upon the when the tenders come, we are participating. So wherever our infrastructure can take, we are participating. Otherwise, we are not participating. So off late, nothing which suits our infrastructure has been queried by the US side.
Understood, sir. Sir, lastly on the commercial ship, we have tied up with Swan, as you mentioned. But who would be the technology partner here with us as well for commercial ships? And what category of commercial ships are you looking to, you know, build?
So today's teaming agreement is exclusively for landing platform dock. That is not a commercial vessel.
So oh, sorry.
CMD was mentioning is this synergy can pave way for further collaboration depending upon the market scenario for commercial vessels. So right now nothing is crystallized specifically for commercial vessels with SWAN.
Okay. And sir, and the order pipeline which you mentioned, which is of a very huge value, but these will get executed over, let's say, a 7-year time frame. But what is the pipeline that we have on a very short-term basis? Can you highlight some short-cycle orders or small-size orders which you expect to receive in this year, next year?
So right now we are executing around 27 ships from Coast Guard plus as well as the export orders. So for the small segment, right now we are not aggressively bidding because we have the other ships also to complete. So as it progresses, we will look at smaller ships also what can be accommodated. Right now, therefore, we are unable to, at this juncture, we are not quoted for any small segment ships.
Okay. In addition to that, you see the government has aggregated the demand for commercial ships. Almost 112 vessels are likely to come out from medium-range tankers, platform support vessels, VLCCs and all that. So while we are in the process of setting up a mega shipyard somewhere down south, in the meanwhile, whatever opportunity comes, we will we are going to pitch in either from the tenders that are coming from the Shipping Corporation of India or ONGC or IOCL, one of the petroleum and natural gas PSUs. So those are short cycle projects. So we anticipate that we will get some orders from that part as well.
And so any tentative size that you can highlight, will it be like 1,000 odd crores approximately?
Yes.
For the,
in the immediate future, we anticipate something like that. It will all depend on how the tenders come out and how quickly they are able to place orders and all that.
Okay. And sir, final question on margin. I probably missed your guidance on margin. What would be the stable margin that we should expect in FY27, FY26 and 27 since we have that visibility?
See, broadly, for any, for the shipbuilding sector, the margins that are expected for operationally efficient shipyard is around 15%. However, the revenue and the profit of a shipyard depends on first the order book, the type of projects and what stage of execution of these projects the shipyard is undertaking. So there are several factors. Now, for example, MDL has very high efficiency in construction, design and construction of frigates, destroyers and submarines. So if there are these projects, then our operational efficiencies are high, productivity is high, and accordingly the margins also will be higher. If it is some newer vessels, it may not necessarily be that high. But on an average, we can anticipate around 15% plus margins.
Great, great to know, sir. Thank you very much for answering all the questions very patiently, and wishing you all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sagar from Invesco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my question. My first question is on the order inflow. So while I understand that there are three follow-on submarines on the P-75 side, followed by P-75I, and then the landing platform dock, can you guide us on the sequence in which they can come to Mazagon Dock Limited?
Difficult to say. If 75 additional submarine is to come, it could come immediately. But we anticipate 75I, where the negotiations are ongoing, we anticipate that before the financial year ending, we should have signed the contract for the 75I. LPD will probably take the DAC has just given approval. The RFP itself to issue will take maybe 4 to 5 months. And thereafter, the L1 determination and order placement will take another 6 months. So maybe a year from now.
Okay. So on the defense side, these are the only three large projects that are on the horizon.
Oh, actually, the 17 Bravo frigate RFP is likely to come out much earlier. It will probably come out anytime next month or definitely in this calendar year. That's what the Navy has broadly indicated. So that order is likely to come out much faster, maybe by the third quarter of the calendar year next.
Sure. And sir, on the Colombo acquisition, what will be our total cash outgo from the balance sheet in terms of?
That will depend on the rights issue and mandatory offer by the existing shareholders. We anticipate anywhere between 51 and maybe around 75% where we will have a total shareholding. If it is a full 100% shareholding is to be taken by MDL, we anticipate 450 crores outflow.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That is it from my side.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Amit Dixit from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my side. The first one is on the provision. So if I see the provisions are negative in this quarter, is it due to the LDs that were written back in this quarter? If so, can you highlight the quantum of LDs that were written back?
Yeah, the LD written back, yes, sir. We have written back a LD of 102 crores.
And this pertains to which submarine, sir?
This is pertaining to 17 Alpha
for ship.
Second ship.
Okay. Are there some more LDs that we can expect, that we have, claimed and they are in dispute and they can be rolled back going ahead?
Yes, we actually anticipate that we will be getting a waiver of LD of the submarine project. There is one submarine that is still pending. The case is still pending with MOD and we expect a favorable response from MOD on that.
And that would be around 120 odd crores?
Pardon?
That would be around 120 odd crores?
Yes, around 100 crores.
Okay. So the second question is just drawing on Harshad's question earlier. You mentioned that the stable margins could be 15%. Now, what are these margins? Are we talking about EBITDA margin, operating margin, and does it include other income also? So just wanted to get a little bit more clarity around this margin.
It will depend upon the completion of the project. As in the shipping industry, at the end of the project, when there are no much liabilities left on account of warranties, the margins are high. What you can see in our balance sheet also, we are showing a margin about 25% or 30%, but that will not be the case for the new projects coming in, where we are booking the actual value of production. And in that case, we expect that the margins will be around 12 to 15%. This is only when we are at the completion of the project and we book all the unclaimed liabilities, our margins are high.
And these are EBITDA margins, just for clarity.
If it is EBITDA that goes to PAT and PBT, it is all the same. It is coming from the top line. I don't think it will be having any impact, because we are not having any much borrowings. So it is almost the same.
Okay, just to stretch it further, sir, and this will be my last question. 5, 8, 10 years back, Mazagon used to have a EBITDA margin of 5%. Now, from there, we have reached a point where the margins are much healthier. So, how much of increase would you attribute to your internal efficiencies, essentially, and that would stay with the company regardless of the orders that we get?
The efficiency and the quality of workmanship both contribute to our higher margins at a completion of the project. When there are no guaranteed defects in the product constructed, that result into a margin at a completion of the project. So that is why initially when the project starts and we start booking on a conservative basis, the margins are less. But as we progress and we complete the project, the margin tends to be higher.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Zarbade from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My question was regarding the completion timeline for the ONGC order, which is around 4,800 crores. And also, we have seen that the AIP order has not moved since we booked. So, also wanted the status of that.
See, the ONGC contracts can be done only during the periods where the monsoon is not there. That is from mid-October to mid-May. We anticipate that large extent of the 4,800 crore, the DSF 2 project, we should be able to complete this season. That's up to May. But however, we will not complete the execution of that. We will probably have a spillover onto the next season, which will be from October mid in 2026. What was the second question?
Sir, second question was regarding our MOU with the Naval Group for making submarines for third-party friendly countries. Just wanted to know when we can, you know, expect some concrete maybe order, or also do we have the capacity to take further submarine orders if the three additional submarines orders also get placed on us?
We have the capacity to undertake the construction of 11 submarines simultaneously. So even with the three additional Scorpion submarines and 675i, we will have spare capacity. Now, with regard to the question of handling export orders, we already have an MOU with the Naval Group for exploring export opportunities for Asian countries, and we have once again, signed an exclusive MOU with the one. I don't want to take the name of the country, one particular country, where we will bid together for the anticipated project in that country.
Okay, sir, if I can take one or two more questions. Wanted to know about the status of the mine countermeasure vessel, because that this order has received EON sometime back. So what could be the status of this order?
We expect RFP in the next 3 to 4 months. After, I think, the first RFP from the Navy will be 17 Bravo frigate. After 2 months, we anticipate, maybe somewhere in February or March, we anticipate the RFP.
Yes. And sir, lastly, if I can, our P-17A frigate, the pending order book is 11,490 crores. How much of that would be the guaranteed repair,
guaranteed repair, we normally keep 10% of the ship cost. So
the original value?
That value is similar to work out.
Okay.
So 10%.
No problem. Okay. No problem, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dipin Vakil from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on the lines of CAPEX. Can you tell us what kind of CAPEX you have incurred so far in the first half and what you are expecting to do in the second half, and also an update on the Navasheva CAPEX that you are planning on incurring?
This full financial year, we are anticipating CAPEX, and in fact, we will have we will do a CAPEX of 500 crores, and that is primarily for the floating dock, which is almost halfway through. We anticipate that by end of this financial year, we will complete that. Now, going forward, we will be doing some CAPEX on both the Nava Yard as well as the South Yard Annex, which we have leased from Bombay Port Trust. But these will be primarily to remove the bottlenecks that we have in our present production activities. And we are looking at a total CAPEX of around 1,000 crores for Nava and South Yard Annex, and another 1,000 crores for the infrastructure for 75i submarine. But our main CAPEX going forward for the next 5 years will be approximately 5,000 crores for a greenfield shipyard, which we intend to set up in Tuticorin in Tamil Nadu for commercial shipbuilding. The government has come out with a slew of measures, incentives, policy measures, which makes commercial shipbuilding attractive and profitable. So we intend to tie up with maybe a Korean or a Japanese shipyard and probably a private player in India to set up this large shipyard, which we intend to complete the first phase with approximate investment of around 5,000 crores in the next 4 to 5 years.
Sorry, so this year we're expecting a CAPEX of 500 crore and 5,000 crore over next 3 to 4 years. And sir, this Nava Yard, you mentioned 1,000 crores, so that will also be done in, say, this year, next year, or what would be the timeline for that?
It's not 1,000 crores for Nava Yard, it will be 1,000 crores put together for Nava and the South Yard Annex. So we have already done some work, close to around 75 crores, we have already done a CAPEX there. We will probably do, it will be ongoing because we are already started to construct two Coast Guard projects there as well as the offshore projects. So it will be simultaneous investments there while we are undertaking the projects. So it will probably take another 2 to 3 years.
Got it, sir. So my last question is on provision, sir. So how do you see provisions going for, say, second half of this year? Do you see any, so the provisions that you mentioned that you may be receiving, do you expect that to come in this year, or you think that it will spill over to next year?
So we anticipate this year, maybe in the last quarter.
Got it, sir. So that's all from my side. Thank you so much for answering my questions and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Harshit Kapadia from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity again. Just wanted to, since you have mentioned the 5,000 crore investment in Tuticorin for commercial ships, could you highlight, sir, what types of ships that you are looking at? Is it bulk? Is it crude? Is it related to LNG? Any color on that would be helpful.
It is going to be dual use. In fact, we are looking at both commercial as well as naval applications there. Now, let us say, for example, I'm just giving you an example. Let's say the Navy comes to the requirement for the third aircraft carrier. So we could, if the timeline suits, we could make the aircraft carrier there. However, for commercial vessels, we will first look at the domestic market. And for the domestic market, the Ministry of Shipping has already aggregated the demand from all the oil and natural gas PSUs, approximately 112 vessels. They are primarily, they will start off with platform support ships and MR tankers. And going forward, we will be looking at very large gas carriers and very large crude carriers.
Understood, sir. Okay. This clarifies a lot. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Murarka from Continental. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, congratulations on a very stable set of numbers. My question was regarding that how do you, near time future, look to enhance shareholders' value for a retail investor? Thank you.
We anticipate to get more orders, build them efficiently, and
what the shareholders. Sorry to interrupt, but there is some disturbance in your line.
Should I repeat my question?
I heard you. So yeah. How we reward the shareholders is to perform well, add more orders, execute them efficiently.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but Mr. Anirudh, can you please mute your line? There's some
muted,
disturbance
ma'am.
In your line.
It's muted.
Okay, sir.
I hope you heard the answer.
Anirudh, sir, do you have a follow-up question?
No, that will be all. Okay, I'll look at the transcript. No issues.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Santosh, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the question. Question is on subcontract expense that we see in the document. So can you give some details on this, whether it will be reducing in the upcoming quarters or it will be same to the total percentage of the expenses?
You see, the subcontract costs are high this quarter primarily because of the offshore projects. The offshore projects, our execution is virtually turnkey outsourcing. So therefore, the subcontract prices are high. It will depend on the nature of project. Now, for example, if we have the 17 Bravo project, the subcontracting will be much lower compared to the order value. So it will depend on project to project on how we bid and what our project management view is for those.
Yeah, thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naveen Shetty from MLP. Please go ahead.
Sorry, this question was already asked, but just wanted to get a sense on the current order book is around 27,000 crore. Any outlook that you can give for maybe for the next FY26 for the whole year and maybe FY27?
You mean the order book?
Yeah.
In excess of 1 lakh crore.
By which year, sir?
By the next financial year, 26-27.
27, okay, by FY27, right? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Roy from Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My first question regarding, sir, government is pursuing, sir, commercial shipping, sir. So what is your view? Because you are a new player in this side and we have very few company in India who make the ships. So what is your view on this side, sir?
While we are known as a shipbuilder making destroyers, frigates and submarines, we have a rich legacy in commercial shipbuilding. We have built over 800 ships, probably the shipyard which has built the largest number of commercial ships in the country. So we are not new to this. However, yes, in the last few years we have once again re-entered this, and we started with the multi-purpose vessel which we are building for our Denmark client. We have also, you know, done the acquisition of the Colombo dockyard with a view of moving into commercial shipbuilding. Thereafter, the government has come out with a lot of incentives and initiatives for commercial shipbuilding, and we as the largest shipyard and as an arm of the extended arm of the government, we feel that it is both strategically as well as makes a lot of business sense to venture into commercial shipbuilding. We are setting up a large commercial or a large shipyard in Tuticorin, primarily to look at commercial shipbuilding. Depending upon the types of projects, and we could even look at defense projects there.
Okay. Sir, related to the same question, sir, if you look from 7 years now, for FY32, So how does your revenue mix like a difference a commercial from for next 5 years, 7 years, after 7 years?
Yeah, that's a good question. You see, we would like to de-risk. We do not want to depend on a single large customer like the Indian Navy. Presently, probably 80 to 90% of our order book comes from the Indian Navy. We have actually started to diversify by moving into offshore. We have almost 7,000 crore worth of orders from ONGC. We intend to have a healthy mix of offshore projects, commercial projects, and defense projects. So the exact percentage will be difficult to say, but we would like to diversify and de-risk from, you know, depending on very limited number of customers.
Okay. And so last question, sir, in Tuticorin crore, and what weight tonnage up to we make ships, sir, in Tuticorin? Any idea, sir, in guidance?
Tuticorin is, the plan is to develop it into a greenfield shipyard where vessels like very large crude carriers, VLCCs, can be constructed.
Okay. So, in terms of weightage, sir, tonnage, sir?
Around 300,000.
Yeah, 3 lakhs deadweight tonnage.
Oh, 3 lakhs. Okay, right, sir.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir.
300 plus would be the length of the ship.
Okay, 300 is the length of the ship, and deadweight is nearby to 3 lakhs.
3 lakhs, yeah. So that is a typical VLCC volume.
Yeah, 3 lakhs is very big, sir. Right, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shivam Parekh from ValueWise Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for addressing my question. So my question was, there was an MOU done by MazgonDoc with Mitsui Shipping Lines of Japan. So could you throw some lights on that, and if any potential order flows do come in from Mitsui Shipping Line, so will it be done at Colombo Shipyard or at your Indian shipyards? Thanks.
I don't recollect any MOU with Mitsui.
Okay. Yes, sir. There was a recent news that, like, Indian Navy had done some discussions with Japan for ship repair, and in that it was in that news, it was shown that MazgonDoc had done an MOU with Mitsui Shipping Lines of Japan.
Yeah. So there was, you know, a but it's very, very early stages of discussion where the Navy is looking at having a common destroyer design between India and Japan. But these are very, very early stages. We have not signed any MOU.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rupam Jaiswal from InvestWell. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Actually, thank you for the follow-up question. I wanted to ask about the new greenfield shipyard, like the shipyard which you will be investing in the south of the India. So what would be the total capex plan, and like what kind of capacity are you looking out for?
See, the government is looking at setting up these mega shipbuilding clusters, and they want shipyards of scale with a throughput or a capacity of 1 million to 1.5 million per these mega shipbuilding clusters. So we intend to set up one of them in Tuticorin. So we will approximately require a land parcel of 1,100 acres. And the capex will be actually going forward to set up a large shipyard like this, based on data that is available, will be anywhere between 15,000 to 18,000 crores. But this will be done in various phases. So the first phase, which we intend to complete maybe in the next 3 to 4 years, will be around 5,000 crores.
So the total plan is of, like, this will go for 10 to 12 years, like the full, this full capacity.
It will all depend upon how we get government clearance, environment clearance, those issues, because the trunk infrastructure on land, waterfront, etc., has to be done by the state government. So how quickly they do it, we will be able to do it, we will be able to finish accordingly.
Okay, sir. And okay. And so one more last thing, like in the LPD side, have we have we got the technical partner with us to bid on this project?
Not yet. As answered earlier, we will have to see whether there is a requirement for having a design partner or not. The earlier RFP that the Navy had come out with several years ago required the Indian shipyards to partner with one of the European shipyards who have the LPD already. But I'm not sure that this requirement will be there or not anymore, because there's a likelihood, because all our shipyards now have the design competence and capability of designing and constructing these ships. So there is probably no requirement for a partner except the agreement that we already have with Swan for constructing these vessels.
Yes, sir. Only last question around this only. So, like, for this order, like, the main competitors like L&T, Cochin Shipyard and Amazagon, like, all three of you will be bidding for it. And the total deal value is, I think, so around 35,000 to 40,000 crore for four ships. So, is this order will be given to only one shipyard, or will this be like L1, L2 kind of thing?
So, that will become clear once the RFP comes out. Right now, we do not know whether it is going to be executed by one shipyard or it will be split into two.
Okay. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Praveen Desai, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. When will the first phase of Tuticorin CPR will start?
We are in discussion with the government of Tamil Nadu. Also have to take some
concerns. Sorry to interrupt. Praveen, can you please mute your line?
Yeah.
So there are multiple agencies involved. So first is the land has to be allotted to MDL. There is a port, V.O. Chidambara port involved. SIPCOT Tamil Nadu is involved. Tamil Nadu government is involved. Then we are involved. Then a foreign partner is involved. So all this needs to, we have to stitch together before we start. So we are in the process. The initial discussions have been completed. And then we are going ahead with that.
We have also signed an MOU with the Tamil Nadu government body Guidance, which is a single window
facilitating body
for all clearances. So we have seen the administration is very proactive in Tamil Nadu. We anticipate that we should be able to probably work on the DPR for the shipyard maybe in the next 3 to 4 months.
Praveen, do you have a follow-up question? Praveen, sir, can you please unmute?
No, ma'am. That was the only question that I have. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Jyoti Gupta for the closing comments.
Thank you so much. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, we would like to thank the management of Mazagon Dock Shipbuilders Limited for the call, and also many thanks to the participants for joining us on the call. Thank you very much, sir. You may now conclude the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.